Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Pat Finley.
This better be good.
Well, it's going to be because it's Pat Finley. That's why he's here. Saturday Suckage. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, and now Stifler's producing us. Trash Panda has gone on his way. Joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is the aforementioned Pat Finley, and this better be good. It better be better than the Bears' offense, Patrick Finley of the Sun Times. So the Bears are nearly a second worst in yards per play and third down and third worst in the red zone and fourth worst in yards per carry, yards per pass, points per game. Thank God Bill Lazor's going to change all that. What exactly does Bill Lazor change in your eyes, Patrick Finley?
He's one of the last cards they have to play. I mean, that's what it is. Is when you look at their offensive coaching staff, Matt Nagy, hired four new guys last offseason on the offensive staff. He moved a fifth guy over to a newly created position. They traded for Nick Foles. They benched Mitch Trubisky. There's not a whole lot they can do at this point. And I think this is the classic case of A, change for change's sake, which I'm okay with, and B, you can't fire the players. And when you can't fire the players, you've got to try something different. That's what Bill Lazor represents to me. I don't know whether it's going to work, but I commend them for at least not doing the same thing this week that they've done the last 2.5 months.
Were you surprised yesterday when Matt Nagy made the announcement?
I was surprised that he made the announcement because he had threatened to not tell us, which I thought was a little childish. And I understand I understand that there's some element of trying to be, of gamesmanship and trying to keep, the Vikings guessing or whatever it was. I was surprised, I guess, that he came out and said it. I'm not surprised that he made the move. I wrote in the Monday paper off of the Sunday game that now was the time to do it. And there are a lot of reasons for that. One of them is, what I just mentioned, just kind of the lack of other moves for them to make. But also, on Monday morning, they were going to play one game in the next 20 days. If there was a time to roll out something different, they had the runway to do it, and they're going to do it. And, Nagy said yesterday that this isn't necessarily permanent, but I would be shocked if this wasn't the new way of doing things, at least the rest of the year. I don't think he would have made the decision just to change his mind a week later.
We're talking with Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times, talking Bear football here on The Score, Bears football such as it is offensively. And we've discussed this, Mark and I have discussed this for the last couple weeks, that the awful Nick Foles experience was supposed to be the opposite, because that's precisely why Nick Foles was brought in. His knowledge of the offense, his comfort with the coaches, his ability to step in and not have to need a whole lot of care and feeding, and yet it's looked as miserable as if they would have brought in Cam Newton for a cheaper price or anybody else. He even brought in Brian Greasy this day and age because he would know better than to throw deep drops and change the play at the line. This seems like an indictment to me. Wasn't the Nick Foles experience supposed to be better, and why isn't it?
Yeah, he was supposed to be a professional. Excuse me. He was supposed to be somebody who, you know, when Mitch Trubisky makes a mistake, you actually wonder whether he knows better. And when Foles does, you actually think Foles knows better, and he just made a mistake. You know, he was supposed to be, like you said, kind of a set it and forget it guy. The other half of that equation, though, is, you know, he wasn't very good. The Jacksonville Jaguars decided they didn't want him anymore. He is somebody, I'm not sure you can, excuse me, hold on. Sorry, guys, I got something in my throat talking about Nick Foles. I think if you have a good offense, if you have a good offense, I think Nick Foles helps you. I don't think Nick Foles can be your offense. And that's the problem now. They can't run the football, with or without David Montgomery. You look at the production they've gotten from their tight ends. Jimmy Graham's been okay, but Cole Kmet isn't getting the ball thrown his way. You know, they've got, you know, 1.5 pretty good receivers, and that's their offense right now. If he had better players around him, I think Foles would be better. I know that sounds dumb, but I think that's the case.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And Patrick Finley and I were just on Zoom a short while ago with Jimmy Graham, whom Pat just mentioned. And what did you make, Pat, of Jimmy Graham saying he had no idea that the play caller had been changed? Anything to read into with that?
Well, Nagy told us yesterday that he didn't have a special meeting to tell everybody that this was happening, so I guess that was true. The only thing I read into it is that nobody thought to brief Jimmy Graham of the happenings of the day before he sat down with the media. I do feel bad when players get broadsided by stuff like that, just because we want the best answers we can get out of these guys. We want something thoughtful. And if, you know, Jimmy Graham has just been told, you know, we're not going to get a very in-depth description of, you know, how this affects Jimmy Graham's life, because Jimmy Graham still hasn't sorted through that. So that was too bad. He came around later and talked about what a smart guy Bill Lazor was, that he went to Cornell, and that he's, you know, interesting about things outside of football, too. That was good. But, had Graham known ahead of time that we were going to ask about this, I think we probably would have gotten a better answer on what he thinks about everything.
I would think that, and this is just not that big of a deal. I get it. I'm probably making a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be. But I would think that everybody at the Bears kind of assumed that Jimmy Graham would know about this because it was so splashy, and I get it. Maybe he wasn't told directly, but I still think he probably should have known, but whatever.
What was his line? I don't watch the news, something like that.
And
Nagy spoke to this yesterday. You know, until Monday afternoon, this isn't really a big change from what they've been doing. I mean, everybody in their offensive meetings remain the same, and Bill Lazor calls the plays in practice the same way he did, except for the 2-minute drill, all year long. So there haven't been noticeable changes there. You know, that's going to be different on Monday night, but, you know, it is kind of business as usual. You know, if you were just a player kind of walking through the building, I don't think you'd be able to tell the way that they've gone about practice this week.
Well, that's bad, because if you play like you practice, Matt Nagy is a horrible coach. This is the team that's undisciplined, disorganized, no clue about communication. They pull off a fake punt, and the offense doesn't know it's a fake punt. They have to call a timeout after they pull off a fake punt. I mean, they're just false starts. Jimmy Graham and Arlington Heights, and they've got all of the issues that a badly coached team talks about, and then you have Nagy going Mark Trestman saying, well, I thought we had a really good week at practice. So he doesn't know the practice he's watching, and to me it doesn't seem like he's ever been able to coach the game that's right there, the game that's in front of him. I can only hope this changes, but if you're telling me practice doesn't or won't change, then why is there reason for hope with a change at play caller now?
Well, I just mean structurally, the way they call in plays at practice, Matt Nagy wasn't the one doing that now during practice. It was only during 2 minute when he would get in Nick Foles' ear holes. Other than that, it was laser. So, you know, just watching practice, you wouldn't be able to tell. You're right. I mean, what's the old, I'm going to paraphrase the Chris Rock joke, but, you know, I don't know if the Bears are a poorly coached team, but they're certainly wearing their uniform. You know, they're wearing a poorly coached team uniform. The Chris Rock joke is much dirtier than that. But they, you know, the penalties are inexcusable. They have a personnel issue in terms of just getting guys on and off the field that you think would be solved by now, and it is not. You know, the fake punt thing, you know, some of Nagy's mishandling, I think, of timeouts at the end of the first half in both the Panthers game and the Rams game. You know, something as little as not making the Rams punt, you know, just to see what happens, you know, at the end of the first half there. These are just, individually, they might not be game changers, but when you add them up, they really are, and they speak to a theme that is not good for them, that, like you said, gives the illusion that they're disorganized, undisciplined, and that all comes down to the head coach. The hope, I would think, here is that if Nagy gets to take a little bit more of a holistic approach to watching his team on a Sunday or a Monday night in this case, that maybe those things get cleaned up a little bit. I don't know whether that'll happen, but like I said, I give them credit for trying because I think that there are head coaches out there that would rather just be fired than give up play calling. And Nagy was not one of them.
Yeah, I mean, he becomes now, in theory, more present during the games for everybody along that sideline. And maybe, Patrick, based on what you're saying, this become like he may not know it now, but it may be the best thing that Matt Nagy will have ever done for his head coaching career to at least for now relinquish play calling, because it appears to me, Patrick, and tell me if I'm wrong, it appears that he still has excellent command of the locker room in general. Do you agree with that?
I think he's a good head coach. I don't know that mm-hmm. he's a good play caller at all. No, the respect that his teammates have, or that his players have for him, the culture that they have built there. I mean, remember what John Fox was like. Remember what the culture there was like under the end of Mark Trestman. You know, with Brandon Marshall saying crazy things and you know, players screaming at each other. You know, the Bears have come a long way in those 5 years or so, and a lot of that is because of Nagy and because of the way he deals with people and because of the way he motivates his team. If he could get a good play caller to do that job, I think that would only bring out those leadership traits even more. I'm not willing to give up on Matt Nagy as a head coach at all at this point. But, you know, you can see if this thing goes sideways, you know, I don't know how many cards he has left to play to right the ship. This seems like the biggest one left. And if it works, I think he looks pretty smart. And if it doesn't, I don't know what that means for him.
We're talking with Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you on Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to, but instead the Bears do. If David Montgomery does not get out of concussion protocol, Patrick Finley, who's the running back? And if you say Cordarrelle Patterson, I'm going to make you watch a whole bunch of Matt Nagy play calls.
I think it's probably Ryan Nall. I really do. You know, Lamar Miller, when you talk to Bears coaches about him, I've yet to hear one say, you know, his knee is great. They all talk about him. I mean, it's true. I mean, they all talk about
him
working his way back from his knee injury. And that is not a small injury that he is still, that he needs to get healthy from. You know, he had ACL surgery last August. But it doesn't, you know, if he were lighting it up, I think they would have found a way to use him by now. Because when you look at, you know, all their ball carriers, there's no reason to keep Lamar Miller on the practice squad unless, you know, he's just not who he used to be. So I think that's Ryan Nall. I think that, you know, there is a chance that the Bears are forced to get creative in a way they haven't been this year because David Montgomery is not in the games. Maybe that will help unlock something as they keep kind of groping for some sort of offensive momentum. But I would guess it'd be Nall. I guess you see a little bit of Pierce. I think Cordarrelle Patterson's job would probably be what it's been, which has been a really ineffective running back. I think that he's got all the athletic talent in the world. I just don't know why it's not working. I think the offensive line is the reason, or I think you got to start with them. But I guess Ryan Nall, gun to my head, it's Ryan Nall, and that's certainly an interesting development.
Yeah, and it's a dirty little secret, but Ryan Nall is not slow. He's actually got some speed, and I know it's very easy to stereotype the man, but he can run a little bit. He might be faster than David Montgomery, and that's not denigrating David Montgomery. I'm just saying Ryan Nall has speed that people are not interested in hearing about. Patrick, I don't know if this is something you have revealed yet or you can reveal to us yet, but are you picking the Bears to win this game on Monday night, or have you not done your picks yet?
I've done my picks, and I think this is important because at least straight up, boys, I am 8-1. So what I say when I pick just the straight up winner, it's just going to happen. That's just
wow.
The way the Bears have been working.
Got the voice of God here.
Believe it or not, I have the Bears, and I have not been. you don't get to 8-1 by picking the Bears every week. Let me tell you that. But I think that they, I think that this is a kitchen sink game for them. I think that they will throw everything they can. I'm working on a story for later in the week, but maybe I've watched too much election coverage. But this feels like one of those firewall situations, one of those blue, the blue wall. This feels like a game that they absolutely need to have to keep things from spiraling even further. They traditionally do really well against Dalvin Cook. I mean, just unconscionably well, holding them to under 40 yards a game. That will help them. Kirk Cousins in prime time is horrible. I think he's 0-9 on Monday Night Football in his career. That bodes well for the Bears defense. And, if their offense can just get to 20 or maybe 23, I think that's all it'll take. Yeah, I've got the Bears. I think 23-20 is the score.
Wow. If the offense can just not give away points. If the offense, as the old joke about the Bears, I think it was OB who said to some quarterback after a Bears turnover in the 60s, is just hold them. Just get out there and hold them. Don't let the Vikings run anything back. And I think that they have a chance. But you talked about a gotta-have-it game. If I narrow this down, Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times, and I say, so what? Gotta have it doesn't mean anything. The Bears, under 2.5 seasons of Matt Nagy, do not have a go-to play, a gotta have it play. The kind of thing they can run when everybody knows they're going to run it and they're going to get it anyways. They don't have that. So on a bigger picture, why don't they have that? That's another failure of Matt Nagy, the head coach, as well as the play caller. But how do you go this far without being able to have a 3rd-and-1 play that you know you will get that 1 yard?
I would point, in general, why they don't have a go-to play, I would point to the quarterback position. I just think that you need to have somebody functioning properly there to make that work. If I had to pick a go-to play that they've used this year that works, Lance to Allen Robinson seemed to be there. All the time, and I think we don't talk enough about just how good Allen Robinson is. He is way too good. This offense does not deserve him the way he's playing right now. Why can't they get a yard? I mean, I have been loud in accusing Matt Nagy of trying to be too cute by half in these situations. You look at something Sunday against the Titans on 4th-and-1. They run a little dive play and, off of a fake toss. That on the surface is certainly too cute by half. But then you watch the film and Rashad Coward just gets pushed out of the way. Grody, it may have been a Fetty. Was it a Fetty? It was the right guard.
It was a Fetty, yeah.
Yeah.
Rashad Coward gets beat and you sit there and go, if you can't block this guy, I don't care what play they're calling. And, nobody wants to listen to a radio segment about offensive line play. But if this line has been below average for a year and a half and maybe was average in 2018, if they can't get a little bit of push on 4th-down, I'm not sure it matters whether they're calling a toss or a fake toss or a throw or a quarterback keeper or what. because they're playing. It's a losing proposition the way they've been blocking.
What do you think's going on backstage with Allen Robinson and potential contract extension talks, if anything?
I don't think that they're motivated to get something done now. I think maybe, you know, if you look toward the end of the year and see if they want to use some of this year's cap space to pay him, you know, to pay some of it early, I think that makes sense. I feel, though, like we're headed toward a franchise tag, or at least the threat of a franchise tag getting something done. I can't believe that the Bears would look a receiver like him in the eye and tell him that he's not worth whatever he wants. You know, I mean, the list of good receivers the Bears have had in franchise history is really short, and I think he's on it already. And he's young. I mean, what is he, 20? What, he just turned 28.
Yeah, he's not 30.
He's got, no, yeah, he is. And if you ever gave him a quarterback, my God, I mean, what would he be? I think, and Grody, you know this, you know, in the locker room among his teammates, he is a pretty unassailable dude. And if you can't reward a great player at a premium position who stacks up so well against everybody you've had in your franchise, who, by the way, is an adult in the room and somebody whose teammates love him and somebody who makes his teammates better. I mean, Darnell Mooney is good because he's gifted, but he's also good because he's had Allen Robinson, and he's had Allen Robinson to show him how to be a professional. And I don't think you can put a value on that. I think A-Rob is worth, he's not a top five receiver in the NFL, but he's probably not somewhere between 9 and 12, and the Bears have got to pay him like that.
Pat, to that end, my theory has been, and some of this was confirmed, a building working theory of mine, that he was the Bears representative at the coat drive, that he continues to be extremely available. He continues to have a great attitude. He answers all of our questions thoroughly. It makes me wonder if he was told something a few weeks back early in the season when he was putting out the cryptic messages on social media, if he was told something that made him happy to continue to not say anything about it and to be a good soldier throughout all of this, and like maybe told, hey, don't worry, we're going to get something done, because it is extremely rare when you see any player really in any sport be such a good soldier when they don't think something good is going to happen. Am I being naive in thinking that maybe he was told, hey, hang in there, buddy, we'll get something done with you and you'll be happy?
I'm sure he's been told that. This is the context you need to think of when you think of Allen Robinson's contract. In his walk year with the Jaguars, he suffered a torn ACL on the first ball he caught that season. This is somebody who knows that an injury can change not only the course of your career, but the size of your bank account. And it can happen on the first play. It can happen mid-season. It can happen on the last play. If somebody told A-Rod, hey, man, we'll make sure you're taken care of, that's cool. But those are words. And, you know, the only way you make sure you get paid in case of that injury is you got to get paid now. You can't get paid tomorrow. So maybe that's the case. I will give you this. It's extraordinary for him to be the kind of teammate and the kind of public face of the franchise that he is.
Yes.
Given that we all know that he's not happy about this. You know, we could have a conversation about whether complaining about a, you know, multi-million dollar contract is a smart decision given the world that we live in right now, given how many people are unemployed. It is probably a bad look to go too public with any of this stuff.
That's a good point.
I can't imagine somebody laid off, you know, sitting at home, seeing it on the news or reading it in the paper, or anybody who works in a restaurant, for example, sitting there reading about, oh my God, the drama about should we pay him $16 million or $20 million? I think that that's a bad look. I think A-Rod's probably smart enough to know that too.
Point.
Allen Robinson's got a Jose Abreu-ness about him, and it benefits the organization in ways that aren't just on the field, and what's on the field is a guy that other teams have to game plan around. Another reason that Darnell Mooney becomes more dangerous if Nick Foles could ever hit him in stride, but that's a whole different thing. Patrick, thank you so much. Always a joy to have you on. Thanks for making time today. We appreciate it. And
anytime. Thank you, guys.
And you're extending Matt Nagy's record to 5-0 against the Vikings. Look at you. You go, guy.
Right. We'll see how smart I look on Monday night.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks, Patrick.
See you on Zoom later, buddy. Take care.
Yeah, that's right. They got more dates. All right, that's Patrick Finley of the Sun Times. You know, there was a passing yesterday, last night, news crossed, of one of the greatest football players ever. And for those of you who think football was invented with the greatest show on turf or Tom Brady, that you couldn't be more wrong. This was a football player who played all over the football field. You cannot believe it. He might have been hated in Chicago, but he was loved in Chicago a little before that. It's a remarkable thing that he had done in his career. It is worth talking about. We will discuss that next on Saturday Suckage. Grody and Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It is Hawning who adds the finishing stroke to this muddy masterpiece. Ball falls in behind Jerry Kramer, and the big guard brushes the Browns from his path. The Packer backers are ecstatic. Not even the mud can dim the luster of their golden boy.
Wow, look at you, Sniffler, knowing where I was going with that. I didn't even ask for that. You go, Stifler. I wasn't even sure you had any idea who I was talking about. Welcome in,
Google
welcome
is
back.
One Saturday. Hell of a thing, Steve.
It certainly is. Paul Hornung, the Golden Boy. Unbelievable. Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, Green Bay Packer. The Packers sweep was a thing that nobody could stop, and Vince Lombardi was coaching the likes of Hall of Famers that included Paul Hornung. He passed away Friday at the age of 84. And I thought I was pretty up on football history because I'd loved reading about the people involved in this. Most notably in this town, you knew that Hornung and the Packers ran over the Bears. And Mark, maybe you know this. I can't remember the story of whether Doug Buffon broke Horning's leg, his neck, or gave him a concussion, but pretty much ended his career. Do you know, are you a Buffonologist? Do you remember?
No.
Okay, we need a Buffonopedia. I don't know what he did, but Hornung was a guest when Doug was on the station, and they would talk about that. Paul Hornung won the Heisman for Notre Dame. He is the only guy to win a Heisman for a losing team. Notre Dame was 2-8 when he won the Heisman Trophy in 1956. Here's why he won the Heisman Trophy. He led the Fighting Irish in passing, rushing, scoring, kickoff returns, punt returns, and punting. On defense, yeah. He led the team in passes broken up and was second in tackles and interceptions. Now, you may say, yeah, well, a lot of guys, you know, college was all about two-way players and like that. Well, he was drafted by the Packers, taken first overall in the 1957 NFL draft. And he would go on to lead the Packers. He would, in 1960... He set an NFL record with 176 points via touchdowns, field goals, and extra points. Yes, he was the running back and the kicker. It was just the accomplishments of this guy, of Paul Hornung, and Lombardi said in the middle of the field he was only slightly better than average inside the 20s. He was everything. He smells the goal line, and that was that. He was going to get in. So LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006 broke Hornung's record with 186 points on 31 touchdowns. But Hornung would often point out that record came in 16 games, while Hornung only had 12 to play when he had 176 points. And Hornung was... with Alex Karras, famously got suspended for gambling by associating with known hoodlums. And then he came back and he played on the first Packers. He actually didn't play in the first Super Bowl, but he was on that team. But Paul Hornung, the list of accomplishments was unbelievable. And winning the Heisman on a 2-8 team, for all that he did, was also spoke to the sanctimonious frauds publicity machine in Notre Dame, the way they were able to manufacture stuff. But he had an amazing, amazing career that you just wouldn't... What if somebody told you that now, even in college, Mark? There's a guy who is leading his team in rushing, passing, scoring, kickoff returns, punt returns, and punting. Oh, by the way, he plays defense. He breaks up passes, he makes tackles, and he picks off passes.
I mean, it sounds like a blast. Like, if you could be, I mean, that's like schoolyard football. Like, when you're a kid,
yes, it is.
You're putting together your game and everybody plays everything and it's just a blast. Like, how fun would that be to be playing every position but at the highest level? What a cool thing. I don't even know. I haven't covered high school football since my days in Lincoln, Illinois. Does high school football even still use two-way players? Are there still a lot of them? Because I know when I covered it, there still were plenty. I don't even know if there are in high school football. And based on everything that you have educated us on as far as Paul Hornung is concerned, the only unfortunate part about him is his middle name, Paul Vernon Hornung. That's it. That's the only check mark.
What do you got against Vernon?
It doesn't just, I don't know.
That was Dean Wormer's first name. Dean Vernon.
I mean, first name, I'm okay. I don't know. Vernon. You know? I don't know. Old Vern. Vern. Paul Vernon. But since he was nicknamed the Golden Boy, he's got the coolest nickname of all time. I mean, who doesn't want to be referred to as the Golden Boy? I mean, that's it. That's the top. That's the pinnacle of all nicknames ever. The Golden Boy. Come on.
The Golden Boy. That works. Yeah, well, again, that's the hype machine from Notre Dame, the sanctimonious frauds down there.
There's that.
It's hung around for a lot of time. But here's something else. He is one of only seven players to win the Heisman Trophy and be named NFL MVP by the Associated Press. Jeez. So last year we had Lamar Jackson, and before that Cam Newton, Barry Sanders, Marcus Allen, Earl Campbell, and O.J. Simpson. Seven players. Heisman, NFL, MVP. And there was something else about him, too. This comes from the Twitter feed of Tim Barrett. I think it's Barrett. B-O-U-R-R-E-T. Maybe it's Barrett. I don't know the man. I just saw it retweeted by somebody I do follow. His Twitter bio says he's a 40-year football SID at Clemson, Notre Dame class of 1977. So, he talks about, he tweeted this out in 1956, which would have been Horning's last year at Notre Dame. African-American Notre Dame basketball player Tommy Hawkins was not served in a pizza place in South Bend. Father Hesburgh barred Notre Dame students from going there. It was Horning's favorite place. So he picked up Hawkins and took him there. They got served. End of problem. I just think that's, you know,
goosebumps.
It's a great story. I knew Tommy Hawkins from playing in the NBA for the Lakers, and then in LA he was a sports personality. He worked on TV and radio stations. I didn't know that about Horning, but it just. He had an amazing football career that nowadays you can't imagine that. So I wanted to bring it up and talk about it just to appreciate what some guy, I remember years ago and maybe longer than I imagined, there was a two-way player who was in some kind of Heisman conversation, but not really, but he was because he was a Gordy Lockbaum of Holy Cross because he was a two-way player. Again, like you're on the schoolyard, Mark. You're on the playground. You're a bunch of kids throwing in a pickup game on a high school football team or a high school field that's open, and that's what they were playing like. I just think it's great.
Somebody from the 773 points out Miles Jack is a two-way player from UCLA in 2014, and then several texters have confirmed to me that, high school players, especially in the smaller towns, there still are two-way players. And I would imagine that in some of the bigger classes and conferences, there's still got to be two-way players in high school sports. Probably fewer, less than there was 10, 20 years ago. But there's because everything has become so specialized and prepping for the next level that they're not, even high school players, they're not going to put in position to ruin their potential next level careers. But, several texters who are into high school football say that, the two-way player still exists.
Okay, so anyways, Mark, when are you leaving us? What's your schedule? We were doing a production meeting on the air because here's what you need to know, people, listeners of Saturday Suckage, why this is going on, that Mark is a part of the score on Saturday Suckage. He's more a part of the Bears reporting, covering the Bears for the score during the week, and now the week has changed because of Monday Night Football, so Saturday is Friday, which will really screw with our Wake and Bakers, but anyways, that's the way it goes. And on Fridays, Mark conducts interviews that will be played during the many pregame shows that he's on. So let's start with this, Mark. Where can people hear you on game day on Monday? Which pregame shows and when? And then we'll discuss when you're going to leave us, and we'll try to guess where you are.
So, I'll be on all of our station's pregame shows at Entercom Communications. I will be on the score at, I think, around 6:15 on the pregame show with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz and Hub Arkish. I'll be on with whatever news of the day there is, and there usually is news leading up to the game with inactives and things like that. So I'll jump on with those guys for a little Q&A from Soldier Field. I'll be at the game, present in the first row. And then I'll also be on the WBBM pregame show with Ron, Jim, and Jay. That's Ron Gleason, Jim Schwantz, Jay Hilgenberg, and who am I leaving out? Ron, Jim. Yeah, that's it.
No, that's it. You got Goose, and you got Jim Schwantz, Mayor of Palatine, a happy guest with us, and Jay Hilgenberg was happy to be with us, and they, he said he would come on every week if they beat Tennessee. And then, then Montgomery fumbles, and they, you know, and the ball's going the other way. Stop the count! I wanted to yell. I yelled, stop the count, when David Montgomery fumbled, and it was 17-0, and that was it. It was all over. So,
yeah, so,
so yeah, you so had them all. So
the dealio is, so you're right, I do two interviews, and the interviews are obviously more complicated this year because I'm not in the locker room. So I do these interviews on Zoom, and I do it when the players are available, so that leaves a big window. I just kind of have to stand by. And one of the guys that I will bring to you is Alex Bars, who could very well be starting at center again. But I'm still waiting on one more player. I don't know who it's going to be yet, and it could happen, might happen in the next hour and 15 minutes, but maybe not. Right now, the Bears are practicing, so I don't think we have to worry. I think that maybe, I think the practice ends around 1:30 or so. I think that's when Matt Nagy is speaking. I don't need to be there for that. But if a player is to call me, I will be like, Steve, if it could happen in the middle of a sentence. If I see somebody calling me, I might just be like, Steve, I got to go. Talk to you later. Good luck with your show with Sean.
Are you going to come back to me in Stifler, or are you just going to
I'd like to,
us,
yeah.
Knowing I have separation issues.
No, I think I will. I will try to come back to you unless for some reason the conversation goes on and on and on. But I don't think I'll let that happen because I wouldn't want to do that to the Bears player because they don't really need to be on the phone with me for more than 5-10 minutes. And, you know, I don't want to abandon you. I should tell you this right now. I will be abandoning you completely next Saturday, just so you know.
I did not know this.
Bears have their bye week, Steve, so I'm going to take some time off. I will not be doing Saturday Suckage with you next Saturday, so leave me off the group emails. I don't want to hear from you and Studs and Sean or anybody next week about who, what we're doing, who we're having on. You know, that's all on you.
Anxiety levels just rocketed.
I know. I
need Xanax.
Who do you want to do the show with? Who will keep you calm? Who will make it okay? Who will lessen?
Nobody can replace you. Oh my God, Bill Lazor. We're gonna.
There you go.
Turn over your play calling to Bill Lazor. Why don't we turn over the next segment to the stupidity, the idiocy, the embarrassment that is the Sox Tony La Russa situation.
Okay.
We at least need to bring this up. We'll discuss that next on Saturday Suckage. And God, does this ever suck? Tony La Russa is here, whether you like it or not. And there's a the White Sox have tested positive for stupid, ladies and gentlemen. We'll discuss it next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I always reasoned it that if it's sincere, I didn't have a problem with it.
The guy on the radio says something about not being cooperative. Is he talking about me?
Yeah, that's interim White Sox manager Tony La Russa. Yeah, if it's sincere. Speaking of sincerity, how's that vow never to let the DUI charge happen again? Oh! Oops, I did it again. The Tony La Russa, Britney Spears duet coming out soon. So the White Sox hired a manager the day after they found out he would be charged with a DUI. His second DUI, after the manager said he would not do this again, he was charged with, he was falling asleep, found asleep at the wheel when he was managing the Cardinals. So this is a guy who has not had any credibility with the staying consistent on that. It's a guy who's talking about Colin Kaepernick and believing it was an affront to the troops, even though it was a Green Beret who suggested to Colin Kaepernick that he do it, and they fought for the freedom to kneel while there are injustices in the United States. This is also a guy who said there's not a racist bone in his body. How would you believe anything Tony La Russa says after he was charged with a second DUI? How can a guy demand discipline from his players when he can't show discipline himself? Mark, I'm just bringing this up. These are things that all the notes I jotted down. I don't see how this, how does this go anywhere? It shows him that hey, I'm a Hall of Famer baseball person. Okay, well, how'd that work with the Arizona Cubs? This is where the White Sox are, the stubbornness of Chairman Reinsdorf and an embarrassment to the organization. So do they just play baseball? And if they play good baseball, everybody forgets that Tony La Russa has no credibility in a lot of areas?
Well, the way things work, that's probably what's going to happen. I mean, no matter how angry, like seriously, no matter how angry everybody is, and a lot of White Sox fans are angry, if Tony La Russa wins with the White Sox, there people still will be like, yeah, I'd rather not have Tony La Russa, but this is awesome. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's, and the players, they got something on them now. And you're right, credibility is the word, because somebody, and I'm hesitating saying this because I wanted to give proper credit to whoever came up with this, and God, I don't remember who it was. Somebody on the Score said it, I think, or maybe it was a guest. I don't know. But anyway, these are not my words. I'm stealing from somebody. Uh-huh. They said it perfectly. They said it's kind of like when you find out, like if you're a kid and you find out your parents did something bad, like, oh, wow, mom and dad smoked pot. Interesting. Or, oh, mom used to smoke. You know, and if you are, you know, if you're young, you kind of think to yourself, oh, okay, all right, I got something on you. Now I can probably get away. I mean, it's not a mature way of thinking, but it's a human nature way of thinking that if the guy that is in charge of you has lost credibility, and really in a very public way, shameful way, and comical way with the words that you just played, because it's funny. I mean, it's not funny what he did, but it is funny, and we've made a joke out of it in the past. Even Tony trying to recite the alphabet, that was a comic bit. So you lose credibility in a couple of ways, because you broke the law and you did something stupid that could have killed people, and then you kind of made a fool of yourself via the police as well. So, yeah, this is not good. It's not good for Tony, but it'll go away, Steve. Hate to say it. It's the way it works.
Well, it might, but you've taken what seems to be a quality clubhouse and you've thrown into it, you've just urinated all over that feeling. Now, how deep that urination, the Tony La Russa, Chairman Reinsdorf urination goes, I don't know. But you're talking about a guy with you're introducing credibility problems at the top. And a guy who, where players can look at him and say, why should I listen to you? You got no discipline. You can't stay sober. And I had written down earlier when I was listening to Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel in Inside the Clubhouse, they were talking about coaches on La Russa's staff. You'd want to be a coach. You'd want to be there. You'd want to, what's there? And they brought up Joe McEwing, who was a player and had a great start under La Russa. But again, that was two DUIs ago. So that's the line, and that's the way things are going to be viewed. And maybe the White Sox will get past it. Maybe the players will get past it, and all that matters is winning, and I just got to do my own job, and that's how I get paid. But you brought in a guy who supposedly has credibility, and he's managed to urinate all over it.
So. And you got 3 months to work through it, because you know that's where we are with baseball. I mean, February is baseball, right? That's when pitchers and catchers are supposed to report. So
we'll see if there's 3 months to work through it. We don't know, because whatever happens in December at his court case, it may get sped up. There may be signposts along the way that we have more reason to just watch. If he was really this good of a friend of Chairman Reinsdorf, he would quit now with the embarrassment he has rained down on this organization. But he's not, I guess. So friends and loyalty are... everybody's got their own moving target of what that is. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you know, Mark, the Bulls are going to do something next week. They're going to do something that will improve, in theory, improve their roster. We will discuss that with Casey Johnson next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.